Shalom Alechem and welcome. I'm Shoshana, aka Zippor Esh, which simply means firebird in Hebrew. Studying and living God's Torah is the fire of my life. Studying God's Torah without application to our lives is meaningless. The object of God's word is to change us into the image of the Moshiach, the Messiah, so that we can be effective witnesses of God and for His glorious kingdom. Let's begin with a blessing we speak before opening and studying God's word. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher bachar banu michol ha'amim ve'natan lanu et torato. Baruch ata Adonai notein ha'torah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has selected us from all the nations and gave us His Torah. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. And today we will also add a special blessing for when we study the good news accounts of the disciples. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, natan Torat emet ve'besorot Yeshua le'amo Yisrael u'chol hamim al yedei b'nei Yeshua ha'moshiach Adonainu. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who gives the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all the peoples through His Son Yeshua, the Messiah, our Lord. Amen. Well, you probably realize that I had podcasts 8 and 9 in the wrong order. Oh, well. Let's carry on. As we dig into this eighth blessed bee, we come to the crux of why our lives have to be truly centered on Yeshua and God's kingdom. We know from Yeshua's own words that because the world hated Yeshua, it will also hate His disciples. Why? Because the nature of a life that exemplifies the holiness of God will shine the light on the deeds of evil. In a world that has rejected the Creator of the universe, the deeds of darkness are getting more and more profound. Therefore, our deeds of kindness and love must get more and more profound. Words without the balance of loving kindness will only intensify the hatred toward God and His children. We can see it every day in the news and on the web news sites. The grisly evil perpetrated around the world is truly horrendous. This will be a difficult lesson to get through because it could be seen as a doom and gloom subject, but we must be realistic so that we can be prepared to endure what is coming. I have titled this podcast, To Those Who Endure. Our focus verses, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted because they pursue righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. How blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of vicious lies about you because of me. Congratulations! Now you have become like Yeshua, and as such, you are privileged to be persecuted due to your likeness to Yeshua. Does this sound preposterous, even facetious? And yet, this is exactly what Yeshua says. Those who walk purely, uncompromisingly, will stand out, not obnoxiously or rudely on purpose, but gently, purposefully, personally righteous. I have explained in previous podcasts that righteousness is the evidence of obedience to God's Torah instructions. The very nature of righteousness sets the person at odds with the world's culture. Righteousness sheds pure light on the deeds of darkness, and they are made visible even to the one acting in unrighteousness. This, in turn, makes the evil presence within them to rise up against anything that stands for righteousness. We can see this more clearly from the letter of Rabbi Shaul that he wrote to the congregation in Rome. In chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, it says, quote, "And just as they did not see fit to recognize God, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what is not fitting. They became filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, and evil. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. They are foolish, faithless, ruthless, heartless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve death, They not only do them, but also approve of others who practice the same. If you want to learn more about these, the Book of Romans, you should visit Emmett's Anchor Podcast under Emmett, a.k.a. Shomerman. He's doing such a great teaching on the Book of Romans. We know from King Solomon that there is nothing new under the sun. In a world that has become so vile that God regretted creating man, God looked down on Noah and saw a man that chose to live righteously and thus was untainted by the actions of the fallen angels. Our ancient records state that Adam instructed Seth and so forth down the line to Noah, so that the story of God, the garden, and their banishment stayed fresh in the family. Not to mention that the original garden site was still known, with the angel with the flaming sword still guarding it. As Noah seemed to hold to the reality of Adonai God, ancient texts tell us that the people ridiculed him even before God called him to build the ark. It must have seemed to the people that Noah had gone off the deep end and lost all reason. Even to this day, we ridicule things we don't understand, and the more one stands firm to their belief, the worse the ridicule and the mocking becomes. This is what Yeshua was warning the disciples about. And evil, as evil becomes more intense, the persecution will intensify. Before we go further, let's bring in some historical context to the lives of Yeshua and his disciples. After the Jewish people returned from the first exile, Ezra and Nehemiah established a ruling court who had authority to establish and maintain legislative laws within Israel. This 121-member court, known as the Great Council or the Great Assembly, was filled with priests, royal family members, scribes, prophets, and Torah teachers. Through the years leading up to the time that Yeshua Messiah arrived in Israel, the ruling members began dividing up into different sects of Judaism. One group eventually became known as the Pharisees. Another group eventually became known as the Sadducees. There were several other groups, but identifying them is not important at the moment. Yeshua, being a descendant of the royal family, was part of the Pharisee movement, because it was the ancient teachings of the Pharisees that gave us the concept of a Messiah figure. The Sadducees rejected all the teachings of the Pharisees and thus did not believe in a Messiah figure. It is this group that persecuted Yeshua and his disciples. The Sadducees were known as the Word or Torah only sect, and in rejecting the writings of these sages, they were forced to create their own traditions for obeying the Torah. This created quite a rift within Judaism, as we saw in the trial of Rabbi Shaul, also known as Paul, when he stood before the Sanhedrin, the great assembly, and cried out that he was on trial because he believed in the resurrection of the dead, and the Sadducees did not. This split the sitting judges in opinion and sent Shaul to prison to wait until they could come to an opinion. So when we understand the dynamics of the society, we can understand better the words of Yeshua. It was the Sadducees with whom Yeshua had the harshest words with. He didn't bother to dialogue with them because they had no common ground in which to communicate. Unlike the Pharisees, whom Yeshua spent much time dialoguing with wherever he went. If the Pharisees had been as bad as historians make them out to be, Yeshua would not have spent the time interacting with them in an attempt to show them that their very teachings about the Messiah figure were being fulfilled right before their eyes. The letter in Yohanan, John's revelation, written to the congregation at Philadelphia, addresses the persevering of the people in the midst of deception. We see in Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13, "To the angel of the Messianic community in Philadelphia, write, here is the message of HaKadosh, the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who, if he opens something, no one else can shut it, and if he closes something, no one else can open it. I know what you are doing. Look, I have put in front of you an open door, and no one can shut it. I know that you have but little power, yet you have obeyed my message and have not disowned me." Unquote. Let's look at these statements before reading farther. Yeshua is listing some of his titles and authority attached to them. He acknowledges that they are trying to follow him, and he gives them a sense of direction in the open door. But it is the phrase, "Yet you have obeyed my message and have not disowned me," that is eye-opening. How, you may be asking? What was Yeshua's message when he walked the earth? Continue to obey God's commands of how to love him and how to keep showing actions of loving kindness toward your neighbor. Yeshua's whole message was to the lost sheep of Israel to come back into the covenant of Torah. He tells the believers in Philadelphia that they have been obeying God's decrees and is doing this, and in doing this, they have confirmed Yeshua as the Messiah of Israel. But wait, are you thinking, were there any Jewish believers in Philadelphia? I thought there were Gentile believers only. Yes, there were Jews in Philadelphia. Everywhere the apostles went, they were making converts to the faith of Yeshua Messiah and his kingdom Torah. They were being born again, redeemed, back into the world of God's holy kingdom and out of the pagan world of the nations, which operated outside of God's Torah covenant. So reading on, quote, "Here I will give you some from the congregation of the adversary, those who call themselves Jews, but aren't. On the contrary, they are lying. See, I will cause them to come and prostrate themselves at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you," unquote. As we saw above, it was those Sadducees who denied the teachings of the Messiah figure that were the actual liars. They were also dispersed among the nations wherever communities of Israel began to pop up, but they eventually disappeared because their religious practice was entirely based in the temple, and there was no longer a temple in Jerusalem. However, God's grace was even available to the Sadducees who repented and joined the followers of Yeshua HaMashiach of Israel at some point. As we continue to read, quote, "Because you did obey my message about persevering, I will keep you from the time of trial coming upon the earth to put the people living on the earth to the test. I am coming soon. I hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown," unquote. This is a key statement. Let me read it again. "Because you did obey my message about persevering, I will keep you from the time of trial coming upon the whole world to put the people living on the earth to the test." So why would Yeshua keep them from the time of trial that is coming? Because they kept obeying the message of obedience to the kingdom of God and his kingdom covenant. We know a terrible time is coming upon the earth, but right here Yeshua tells us that if we are truly invested in following God's kingdom law, statutes, precepts, and rulings, he will protect us from the destruction. The next statement is truly mind-blowing. "I will make him who wins the victory a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never leave it. Also, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of my God's city, the new Yerushalayim coming down out of heaven from my God, and my own new name. Those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the Messianic communities." What victory might Yeshua be referring to? The whole letter to Philadelphia is about enduring in the face of persecution. So, victory then is staying true to God's Torah instructions by living by them even in the face of persecution. Let it be known, God will have vengeance against the nations who persecute his covenant people. We see this very clearly in the record of Yochanan's vision of the days of the coming of the King of the Universe, the only true Messiah who came down from heaven and gave his life to redeem all creation. Yeshua's reference to the Jews above is of those who look like they are following the Torah covenant, but are not holding to the teachings of the judges of Israel who gave us the faith. They speak and sound like Bible scholars, but are not true followers of the living Torah, the Word of God, manifested in the flesh, and his redemptive message. Like so many generations after them, they embraced Greek and Roman philosophies to negate the completed work of redemption that the Messiah accomplished on the execution stake, therefore ultimately denying the price of the redemption paid on the execution stake. These are the ones we are warned about by Yehuda, also known as Jude, and Yaakov, also known as James, these being Yeshua's brothers, and by Rabbi Shaul, and by Rabbi Yeshua himself. In the last days, many deceivers would come and deny the validity of Torah and the need and the purpose of the blood of the execution stake. To explain this statement is beyond the scope of this podcast. Sorry. As true students of the Jewish Messiah, Rabbi Yeshua of the sect of the Pharisees, stand firm on the reconciliation that the atonement blood provides as revealed in the Word, the living and revealed in the writings of the ancient teachers, and the line of contrast will grow greater. This is where the persecution will come in. The world does not want a Messiah because they do not want the King of the universe rolling over them. And Yeshua was not persecuted by the common people. He was persecuted by those in the Sanhedrin, mostly those that followed the Sadducees, those who were given authority by Rome within the governing system, who also had personal ambition as their focus. They called themselves Jews, but rejected the very Pharisaical teachings that revealed the restored covenant through relationship with Mashiach, who was prophesied to come through those very same teachings. In 1997, God spoke to me through that still small voice while I was praying, and he said to me, "I have drawn the line in the sand." He is asking his people, who will stand with me? Who will stand for me? We hear so often people quoting Yeshua's words, "If you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father in heaven," Matthew 10:33. What those people do not realize is by rejecting the writings of the ancient fathers of Judaism, they are actually rejecting the Messiah they say they follow. They, by taking a stand that they will only follow what is in the Bible, specifically the New Testament, have themselves sided with the Sadducees who rejected Messiah and turned him over to be crucified by Rome. As Rabbi Mordecai Griffin of Sar Shalom Synagogue in Saginaw, Texas, has stated several times, the gospel accounts were passed around verbally as teachings long before they were written down and compiled into a readable document. Even most of Rabbi Shaul's letters were in follow-up to his verbal teachings to the congregations in the diaspora. His letters are very misunderstood because they are incomplete as teaching documents. How often do people send a follow-up letter to reiterate what was said in a business meeting? If you weren't in the business meeting, you would not fully understand the concepts written in the letter. This is how the apostles' letters came about and why making doctrine on the letters can border on heresy when what is being taught contradicts God's own holy words. I read on the Facebook group page called B'nai Avraham the following quote. The tzaddikim, the righteous ones, never have easy lives. From the patriarchs whose lives were filled with strife, to King David whose life was filled with bloodshed, to prophets who suffered, to Yeshua's sacrifice, Yaakov, James, the brother of John, the first disciple to be murdered, the early believers in Yeshua who were persecuted, Rabbi Nachman who died young, the Jews in the Inquisition and the Holocaust, and both Jews and Christians being persecuted today all around the world, etc. Following God is, as both Yeshua and Rabbi Nachman described, a narrow path. We do not seek an easy life. We seek eternal life. How true that statement is. The history of the people of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is filled with nations who tried to destroy them through bloodshed, murder, assimilation. As they brought the light of Torah about God to every nation, they sought refuge. Those nations eventually tried to destroy them. Everywhere they went, God blessed those nations because of his people, and they turned on the Jews because of jealousy, perhaps, or the evil deeds were revealed by the acts of loving kindness shown them. Many are the reasons, and gruesome were the deeds done against Israel by them. It is the same even today, as we can see by the news. Baseless hatred against God's people is unexplainable. The world is trying to set up a one-world religion that puts creation as the God to serve. Without a standard of holiness, this religion will create worldwide anarchy. We see pockets of it already. Rabbi Shaul warns us about a people who would have a form of religion, but by denying the teachings of the ancient rabbis and the judges, they deny the power that comes from obedience when Torah is observed. Simply denying the purpose of the blood of atonement is to deny the power of the resurrection that seals the covenant. Rabbi Shaul said he wanted to know the execution stake and the power of the resurrection, because he understood that without the resurrection, believing in Yeshua as Messiah was useless. Kepha, also known as Peter, tells us, "Dear friends, don't regard as strange the fiery ordeal occurring among you to test you, as if something extraordinary were happening to you. Rather, to the extent that you share the fellowship of the Messiah's sufferings, which is obedience to Torah purpose, rejoice, so that you will rejoice even more when his glory is revealed. If you are being insulted because you bear the name of the Messiah, how blessed you are! For the Spirit of the glory, that is, the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But if anyone suffers for being a true disciple, let him not be ashamed, but let him bring glory to God by the way he bears his name. For the time has come for the judgment or the purification to begin. It begins with the household of God. And if it starts with us, what will the outcome be for those who are disobeying God's good news? If the righteous is barely delivered, where will the ungodly and the sinful end up? So let those who are suffering according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator by continuing to do what is good." 1 Peter 4:12 through 19. What is the good news? That all who accept redemption through Yeshua can become part of God's covenant with the house of Israel. We are still in the days of counting the Omer, and these days are focused on purification. And it's interesting that Peter talks about purification and judgment. When we count the Omer and we're working on ourselves, we are actually purifying ourselves, as it alludes to in Peter's letter. So if the purification of the house of Israel started then, how much more should we be focusing with it now? It has become crucial for us to be saturated with the Torah instructions, as Yeshua tells us in John chapter 15, especially as we see what is transpiring throughout the world. We truly are living in the last moments of the last days. Those who endure to the end shall be delivered. Those who endure through the coming persecution shall be delivered, even as God kept Noah safely in the ark as judgment fell on the earth. Yeshua himself said, "I will keep you from the time of trial coming upon the whole world to put the people living on the earth to the test. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. Surely Adonai Yeshua, come quickly." Yochanan penned those words almost 2,000 years ago. How much more should our hearts be yearning for his coming? Adonai gave me a word picture vision in 2004 while in prayer for America. I share it with you now so that you will be prepared. The scene was a Civil War-like army camp. The tents were lined up in rows. There were a few people up and about, aware and preparing for the day's activities. There were others that were stumbling about. He spoke. The call to wake up has sounded. Reveille has been played. Some of the soldiers heard the sound of reveille and are up and aware. Others were stumbling about, confused and lethargic, aware that they heard something but haven't quite figured out what. Most of the soldiers are still sleeping. What the camp can't see is that the enemy is right over the horizon. Those who are still groggy with the sleep do not see the approaching enemy forces. It has fallen to those who have arisen to the call to arouse the sleeping, lethargic army. We must sound the continued blast of warning until the soldiers fully arise. If we don't, we will miss the opportunity of joining forces with the greater army of God, and we will miss the will of God. Then the Holy Spirit came over me, and with intense emotion, he spoke, "Arise, arise, 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 get up, wake up. Oh, arise before it is too late. Do not turn a deaf ear to this warning." He then told me that there would be four different responses to this message. Some will respond in arrogance and even anger. Some will not hear the message at all. Some will experience a great wrenching in their hearts, and some will flat out reject the message. The type of response to this message will reveal the level of lethargy within the life of those who say they are believers. I find it interesting that the promise of the first blessed be is the same as the last one, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. He went full circle in the progression of the promises. Within the eight blessed bees is the path of victory over the rebellious animalistic soul, and the eternal reward is being with Yeshua in the millennial kingdom reign. I read these verses now to say, blessed are those who are being mocked and abused, because they have embraced the way of the kingdom of God revealed through Yeshua, the righteous one. For the kingdom of heaven will be their destination. It will be considered a blessing when you are cursed and beaten up, and when people find it necessary to say all kinds of lies about you because you stand firm in your faith in the Jewish Messiah. Rejoice that you have been honored to suffer, because your reward in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, will be great. Remember, they persecuted the prophets before you who spoke of me. Now is the time to choose whether Yeshua is worth dying for, if it should come to that. Yeshua is calling for a bride that has made herself ready by embracing and living according to God's Torah instructions, which is a spiritual cleansing of the soul, much like the water of the mikveh cleanses the body. She will be walking in the holiness that covenant faithfulness produces. She will be tested to see if she is committed, no matter the cost. Abba, King of the universe, the one true, mighty God, give us eyes to see your eternal kingdom and to know that all you have said will come to pass just as you have said. May we be found faithful to your heart and your kingdom purposes. Amen. Let us finish with the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torah emet, vechaye olam nata betocheinu. Baruch atah Adonai, notena Torah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and implanted eternal life within us. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. May the Lord our God bless you, and I pray that your heart has been stirred to seek his face earnestly and to feast daily on God's eternal Torah, where there is life, and that more abundantly. If you don't know where to start on this journey of sanctification, you can start by watching the live stream feed of Sar Shalom Synagogue every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. YouTube also has video recordings going back as at least 5 years. I suggest starting with the messages from the last Shabbat of October 2016. These messages start with Genesis, which is the best place to start if you want to see how Yeshua fits within the whole of the Bible narrative. You can also tune in on Facebook on the Sar Shalom Synagogue group page and watch the Aliyah a Day each day at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday. There are several resources I would like to recommend if you are ready for a deeper personal study. The Art Scroll Chumash, or the Kehot Chumash, C-H-U-M-A-S-H, which is the five books of Moses. In these books, you will find commentary that you have never heard before. Everyday Holiness by Alan Morinus for further study in a life that reflects the attributes that produce the fruit Yeshua is looking for in his followers. The Path of the Just by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzado, also known as Ramchal. This book will teach you how to live righteously in your lives daily. Positive Word Power, an art scroll series of Chofetz Chaim's Daily Wisdom. This will teach you how to guard your words and to bring life instead of death with your words. I also want to encourage you to purchase a Bible that is Judaism-centered instead of those translated through the Greek focus. Much is lost in translation from the Greek manuscripts. My favorite at the moment is the Tree of Life version. There are several others available. Shalom, and have a blessed week.